Sweet Springs. Pleasure to have you with us here in person and those listening to us over the radio. We gather together on this fifth Sunday of Easter, and our hymn of invocation is hymn 480, He's Risen, He's Risen, hymn 480, and we will stand for the last stanza. Join together in Divine Service 1. It begins for us on page 151 of our hymnal, so you may follow along in your service folder. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say, we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us. so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We speak responsively the intro from Psalm 30 is printed in your worship folder. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Christ, the Lamb who was slain.
Let us pray the collect of the day. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. First reading appointed for this fifth Sunday of Easter is recorded in the sixth and seventh chapters of the book of Acts in the New Testament. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenius, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered, you who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Now, when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. The witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is recorded in the second chapter of Peter's first letter in the New Testament. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once You were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the singing of the Alleluia and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. We sing as our hymn of the day, hymn 526, "You Are the Way, Through You Alone," hymn 526. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon meditation is our gospel reading from John chapter 14. For the last few years, over $100 million have been spent in an advertising campaign with the theme, "He Gets Us." We've seen the commercials on the Super Bowl, You see the signs at sporting events around the ballpark. They portray Jesus as someone who understands our struggles because he has experienced them. They portray Jesus as if he were a radical or a revolutionary. This advertising campaign is attempting to connect with a segment of our nation's population that our churches are not reaching. But the messages are weak, even wrong, biblically. For the selling of Jesus as modern and hip and cool changes the Jesus of the Bible from one who saves us from our sin to one who simply feels our pain. But Jesus is more than one who gets us emotionally. He is the one who gets us from this sinful life to our Heavenly Father. It is still the Easter season in which we are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. But you'll notice that our gospel reading today is actually set in the upper room. It is the night before Jesus' crucifixion. Here Jesus speaks to his closest followers about his leaving. He is going where they could not follow, at least not right away. And this thought disturbs the disciples. They question, where? Why? How long? Well, his departure disturbs us as well. We would like to have Jesus here with us where we can see him and touch him and speak with him. We would like to have Jesus with us so that we could hold on to him like a security blanket. Thomas at the time speaks for the group, but he also speaks for us. Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Call it heaven. Call it eternal life. Call it the dwelling of God. It is where there is no sin, no sadness, no sufferings, in the mansions of our Father's house. And this, of course, that right now is unknown to us. It is beyond our experience and our comprehension. And thus, there is a fear of the unknown. We can be troubled. We can be confused. We can be scared. Where are you going, Jesus? Don't leave us here on our own and all alone. When we do not know where Jesus has gone for us, we won't be able to get there ourselves. But we try to build our own highways to heaven, roads that will lead us back to our Creator by our own strength and ability. There is that way of our good works. We think that all we need to do is follow God's commands, be nice to others, go to church, put some money in the offering plate or charity, and obey the laws. We think that by doing so, we can bridge the gap between this life and the next life, between where we are now and where God is. But our regular rejections of God's will remain with us. Our sins blow up sections of that highway to heaven just as fast as we can build them. Then there are also hitchhikers on the highway to heaven, those who hope to gain glory through the merits of other people. They rely upon their faithful Christian parents, or perhaps having a pastor's signature on their confirmation certificate, or their own name in a congregation's directory. But there are no hitchhikers allowed on the highway to heaven. It is every person for himself or herself. To be sure, many have given up on the road entirely. They don't believe in its destination. Or there are those who just do not feel that the journey there is worth the effort. Their focus is upon the here and the now. They're all about the party and the play and the pleasure. But they have no plan, at least not for the future. They are satisfied to ignore the way of eternal life. And so Jesus says that broad is the road to destruction, and narrow is the path that leads to life. Jesus' departure troubles us, his disciples. But he does have good reason for leaving us, for he goes to prepare a place for us. And where is that place? He says, my Father's house. He uses a phrase that elsewhere means the temple in Jerusalem, the place of God's promised presence for the forgiveness of his people's sins. But now Jesus means a far greater reality. He means the place of God's visible, eternal, glorious presence. He means heaven or paradise. And this place has many rooms. It is a place with space for all those for whom Jesus has made a reservation. It is the residence of the resurrected. Jesus is preparing this place for us because he has slayed our sin. He has defeated our death, and he has destroyed the devil who tries to claim us for his very own. Jesus won that victory by his innocent suffering and sacrificial death on the cross, and by his own rising from the dead. Ascended into heaven, Jesus now comes to us through the words of the Holy Bible, in the water of our holy baptism, and by means of the bread and wine of this Lord's Supper. Through these means of God's grace, the Holy Spirit now prepares us through faith for the heavenly place that Jesus is preparing for us. Do you want to see God? Look to Jesus. Do you want to hear God speak? Listen to Jesus. Do you want to know God? Follow Jesus. As I teach my students in Bible history, the theme of John's gospel is that Jesus is the Son of God and the authorized agent of the Father. Jesus is the way to our Heavenly Father. That is because Jesus is the truth of God the Father, and he is the life of God the Father here on earth. Just look at his miracles. There is his power over nature, his healing of disease, his driving out of demons, his raising of the dead. This is all the work of the Father in and through his Son. Now that happened while Jesus was here personally with his followers. But he has left us in the sight of our earthbound eyes. But in leaving us, he's also left behind this promise for us. I will come back. And then he will take us to be with himself. We know this is heaven, where Jesus is. It is true and full life, where the author of life dwells visibly with his people. It is the glory where the sinless Savior lives and rules. Yet for now, faith is our life. We are not of this world, but we are still in it. Salvation is ours, but it's not yet fulfilled. We are dying in the body while living in the spirit. We have an assignment from Jesus. We are to do what he did in his ministry. But as he says in our text, not just that, we are to do even greater things. This sounds impossible. How can we outdo Jesus? How can we repeat and top those wonderful miracles that Jesus performed? Well, we can't, and we won't. Those miracles of Jesus got people to listen to his message. And together, the miracles and the message, they inspired faith in Jesus. The greater thing, though, that is happening now among us is that without the benefit of miracles and without the visible presence of Jesus, people are still believing in him. Over the centuries, millions have come to faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior from sin. And today, the Holy Spirit is using us as being as the agents of God's grace. By the simple means of us speaking God's words and living, see or believe, it makes us feel to hear, gets us, leaves us in our sin. What we need from our sinful triune God, Jesus is the one and the only way that gets us from here to there. And he does so on a highway built by his own life, his death, and his resurrection from the dead. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in our Lord and in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our worship by joining together in the common confession of our Christian faith. We make use of the words of the Nicene Creed as printed in our worship folder. I invite you to stand. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made also for us under Pontius Pilate and to the Scripture and sits at the right hand with glory, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In our prayer of the church, we remember those listed for us in our worship folder. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, through the power of Christ's resurrection, you adopt all who believe in him. Receive us as your newborn children and nourish our faith through the pure spiritual milk of your word, that we may dwell in your presence forever. We pray for the missionaries and the mission ministries of our church-related agencies, that you will bless and protect their proclamation of Jesus as Savior in all parts of the world. Lord, in your mercy, send laborers into your harvest, Lord. Preserve your ministers among us, devoted to your word and to prayer. Give many more servants to your church, that neither the preaching nor the care of your people may fall into neglect or disregard. We thank you that today we will celebrate Pastor John and Teffy Engvall's arrival, as he now will serve us as your minister of word and sacrament among us. We trust that you will provide for this same ministry among the members of his former congregation of Bethlehem in Aiken, South Carolina. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Lord, we praise you for the fruitfulness of the earth. We pray that you would provide for those who work the land and tend the livestock for our benefit. We pray for weather that is favorable, for safety in the fields, for success in the planting, for dependability of the equipment, and for strength for the work that needs to be done. Lord, in your mercy, holy God, your power brought all things into being and still preserves what you have made. Bless our president, the Congress of the United States, our governor and legislature, and all other elected and appointed civil servants. Bless and protect those who protect our lives as members of the military, including Drake and McKenna, those in law enforcement, including Ethan, and all emergency responders, firefighters, and healthcare workers. Lead them to honor you and your purpose, establishing order and justice, encouraging virtue, and protecting all life. Give them wisdom and moderation to lead for the well-being of the nation. Lord, in your mercy, Father of all glory, your Son declared himself to be the way, the truth, and the life. Bless all who have requested our prayers. Especially do we remember Ron, Roy, Evelyn, Nolan, Lindsay, Ryan, Bryce, Zachary, Brandy, Avery, Jeff, Debbie, Reverend Hagen, Gail, Randy, Lori, Kelly, David, Danny, Inez, Mary Lou, Kathy, Elliot, Reverend Snyder, and all those whom we name before you in our hearts. May Christ himself be their way of salvation, their truth amid doubt, and their life amid death. Grant them a sure and steadfast hope in the good news that he has prepared a place for them with you, where pain and sickness are no more, and all things are made new. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, we thank and praise you for your servants who have lived long in the faith and continue to trust in your Son in their later years. May we imitate their faith and love to speak your truth with boldness, forgiving those who sin against us as Christ forgave his persecutors from the cross. Together with them, when our last hour comes, let us fall asleep in Jesus and be born into eternal life. We remember especially Norma, Walter, Dolores, Dorothy, Millie, Carol, and Phyllis. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, in Christ you have made us a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people for your possession. Preserve your people in the one true faith, and grant that all who come to the supper this day might do so with repentant hearts, that thankfully receive your Son's body and blood present for us here. Lord, in your mercy, graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. We continue our worship with the gathering of our offerings. We stand and join in the singing of the offertory as printed in our worship folder. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of you, O Jerusalem. We continue with the service of the sacrament as it begins for us on page 160 in our hymnals, or follow along in your worship folder. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us all to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night on which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. What can you take away the sin of the world? Have mercy. Take away the sin of the world.
Our radio broadcast this morning is to honor and memory Harlan Giesecke, who was entered heaven 12 years ago. His family wishes to celebrate Harlan's memory by sharing the word of the Lord with our radio audience. May God continue to bring all things to his glory. Thank you to Lois Giesecke and Harlan's family for sponsoring today's broadcast.
Now may this true body and true blood of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith into life everlasting. Go now in God's peace. Amen. We stand as we sing our post-communion canticle. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. We sing as our hymn to depart, hymn 643, sent forth by God's blessing, hymn 643.